Hello folks, this is the third part of my recording. I'm going to sit down for this part, but this part is going to be very lengthy. Alright, I'm just getting into the right mindset, give me a minute. Okay, right. I guess the thing we start on here is what happens when you're born. This is interesting. The word born is an Admiralty term. Okay, look it up. B-O-R-N-E. Also look up the word B-E-R-T-H, birth. Okay? So, okay. Alright, let's just get on to this, basically. When you're born, parents fill out an application for a birth certificate. Or for a birth, okay? For a birth. What is a birth? Well, this is where we get into the Admiralty jurisdiction. A birth is a slot to park a vessel. And a... Now, there are many other words used. The word... The births happen in the delivery room. Delivery means the transfer of title from one party to another. Look it up in your law dictionary. Essentially, the mother is the vessel. The mother is the vessel, the baby inside her is the cargo, and the cargo is being delivered onto dry land and needs a berth, okay? It needs a space to park. It needs a parking space, right? And when the baby comes out, the application for the birth certificate delivers the baby to the state under the estate name of the all caps straw man. Okay? And essentially what happens is a legal fiction account is set up, and the straw man, the legal fiction that is created, which is the name on the birth certificate, because you are not your name, that is a fiction assigned by government. That is warehoused, okay? That is warehoused at the General Register Office. And now, when you live somewhere, they call it your residence, right? Resident, it means someone who's temporarily living somewhere. It's not your domicile, because that means your permanent home. And why do they call it residence? Because the straw man's permanent home is the General Register Office. The registry, where they keep all the register of births. That's his home. He's been warehoused there. And they're issuing currency off of his back. But we'll get into that in a minute. Okay, so they then give a birth certificate out after a few days. This does many things. But mainly, it is a warehouse receipt. Or a revenue receipt, kind of. Okay. Essentially, what they've done is they've taken the legal fiction and put him into a warehouse. That being the General Register Office, where they keep him in custody. Now, it's a fiction, okay? It's not a real man. Now, we get into warehouse financing. We are basically, they issue the currency of the nation off of a lien on the straw men, all the fictions that are housed at the GRO. This all happens in the Admiralty. You've heard of a birthing centre. Think about it, folks. Birthing. You think, what? Is that a word? Yes, it is in Admiralty. That's a word. A place where they birth vessels. So everything has dual meanings in Admiralty. Anyway, the new baby is a vital statistic, so the records go to the Department of Vital Statistics in the US, okay? Now, you may have heard people talking about the Depository Trust Company. Supposedly, the DTC on the fifth floor in New York City houses all the birth certificates of the nation. Now, why would they do that? Well, because each new birth is considered, each new fiction that is created is considered a human resource. So it's an asset, right? And they issue currency off of it. So they basically securitize the people when they're born. They turn them into a security because hopefully if we educate them properly, they're going to pay taxes when they grow up. And they're going to be a source of income. So they securitize them and sell them off on the stock exchange. Essentially is what happens. Now we get into pooled or mutual investments. Now, this is from the side of the people. The people are essentially making an investment into the UK society, and they want a return on it, and that makes them shareholders. Now, have they paid for their shares? Yes, they have. They've paid for them by being born, and we'll... Alright. Okay, this is how they've paid for their shares already. When they're born, the state expects them to pay taxes when they grow up. So, their birth certificate evidences that someone has been born somewhere, right? Because the birth certificate isn't issued unless there has been an actual birth. So, they think, oh great, we've got a bigger population. So now, we're going to write government bonds. And that's how they get their money, right? Essentially, a government bond is where they pledge their future income as surety for a loan. So they sell these bonds on the stock exchange, and they're bought by various people. And a bond is essentially a loan. So the person who buys the bond on the stock market is lending money to the government. So they get money for nothing, essentially. They get money for a pledge of future revenue. So, you've paid for it. They've made money off of you. You've got a share in them, okay? That's it. It's prepaid common stock. We've got into this in various calls I've done on YouTube with Ben on my channel. Okay, let's just see, where are we? We're 6 minutes in. Okay. Now, one person in Canada got their birth certificate, and it had revenue receipt treasury use only stamped on the back. Why is that? Well, basically, currency can be anything. So when someone's born and a birth certificate is issued, that's as good as currency. It's as good as gold in the modern system, because there is only paper money, right? Or book entry digits on computers. So it's a revenue receipt, right? Because they've got a new person born, so they can issue more government bonds backed by that new person, backed by the increased population. So it's a revenue receipt. They've got something. They've made a revenue, right? That's why it says revenue receipt. Okay, now we're going to go into how you take back your money, which they created off of your birth. How you get back this money that they've made. Because you've funded it, and the money that you've put in is your share, okay? Now, I don't know whether they track how much they owe you. They may do through the NI number. That's very possible, very likely. In fact, that's probably what happens. So they probably put a lump tax credit on when you're born, really. Now, I have heard that the NI account is actually set up at birth. Contrary to popular belief, most people think it's set up when they get to 16. But I think it does actually exist beforehand. You're just not given the number to it, because they don't want you accessing it until you become of legal age, the age of majority, right? They don't think you're responsible. Until then, you're a ward of the state under a parent or guardian, right? Appointed parent or guardian. So you can't access your share. Now, people talk about accessing your bond. Now, most people that talk about this don't actually know what a bond is. Bond, I don't like the word bond. I prefer the word share, because essentially a share certificate is a bond. And essentially, the birth certificate comes down to a share certificate. For you, it's a share certificate. For them, it's a share certificate. So everything is a double-sided contract. Now, the exemption, which is what they owe you back, which is your share in the UK, is only as good as your claim to it. So if you don't make a claim to it, guess what? They're not going to give it to you. Because they don't want to. They want to use it for their own benefits, for like fighting wars in other countries and investing it for profit, which is what they do all the time. So you've got to lay claim to it. You've got to salvage it under Admiralty. Because they salvaged it because you didn't ask for it, right? You didn't ask for your estate back, so they salvaged it. Anyway. Now people say, oh, there's no such thing as free money. You can't get all this money off of them. Hang on a minute, okay. Free? What do you mean by free? Because as we know, in the modern system, well, we'll go into this later, you can't actually pay for anything. So what do you mean? The bond, accessing your exemption doesn't give you free money. Why? Because you pay for it in the amount of time you spend researching and understanding the concepts. Okay? There you go. Simple as that. Now, this all leads into the financial system, which is something I've researched quite a bit. Now, we're going to talk about the prepaid exemption. Now, because when you were born, they essentially got money, revenue receipt, remember, on the back of the BC. They essentially got money. and therefore everything is prepaid. You've already paid for it. You've already brought money. You've already brought public currency into existence by being born. All right? So everything is prepaid. You've already paid. And that's why when you go into a shop and tender a Bank of England note to pay for anything, you can't pay for it, because it's already paid for. All you're doing is simply discharging what they owe you, okay? That's a bit technical. We'll get into that later. Now, the birth certificate is actually a share certificate, or it's a kind of... for you. I'm talking about on the you side. On their side, it's a warehouse receipt. On your side, it's a certificate of beneficial entitlement or interest. And the holder of the birth certificate receives benefits, right? They say you have to have your certificate to get the state benefits. Yes, you do, because that represents your entitlement to them, but it's your share certificate. So the person who holds the BC, the certificate, receives benefits and has equitable entitlement to shares of the public trust. The public trust is basically the government. Now, the public is a trust. The public being the government and corporations, it is a trust, okay? They're the trustees, they're looking after your shares, they're looking after everything for your benefit, essentially. It's a public trust, that's why they call it the public trust. And in fact, in the UK, there is even a public trustee. Now, to them, the birth certificate is a share certificate in your predicted labour. That's why it's a revenue receipt, because they've received a kind of pledge of future labour, which they monetise into government bonds, right? And then they get money for them when they sell them on the stock market. And if there's no one willing to buy government bonds, guess what? The Bank of England will always be happy to buy them. Oh, we'll get into the Bank of England soon, trust me. It's not as you think. So yeah, the birth certificate to them is a share certificate in your future labour, which backs their gilts, which backs the currency, right? So every contract is two-sided. To you it's a share certificate, to them it's a share certificate. Okay, so that you're not getting, they're not getting something for nothing, you're not getting something for nothing. Ah yes, nationalised Bank of England. Okay, now many people believe the Bank of England is a state-owned nationalised bank. Wrong, okay, wrong. It was supposedly nationalised in 1946 after World War II. Why was that? Publicity stunt. They wanted you to think that you got the bank. No, you didn't. You got the building, but guess what? In the Bank of England Act 1946, you can go read this, the shareholders of the original private Bank of England simply got issued new shares from the Treasury, okay? So the old shareholders are still the new shareholders, and we, as yet, we don't know who these shareholders are, okay? So yeah, Bank of England is a private bank, and all the profits they're making from quantitative easing, in excess of £4 billion last year, £8 billion I think it even went up to, they only have to give, listen to this carefully, they only have to give, what we've found is they only have to give either a quarter or at most half of their profits to Treasury. The rest are given out to shareholders and are kept as retained earnings. Think about that for a minute. The central bank of the country is a private bank, and they're issuing the currency and they're profiting off of every pound that they create. Let that sink in, alright? It's not evil, it's not good, it's not bad, you know, remember the come from. Okay. Banknotes are actually promissory notes. They're actually promises of the Bank of England. If you look on it, it says, I promise to pay the bearer on demand the sum of £10, right? So, it's a promise. So how can you pay a debt with a promise? Or, in other words, how can you pay a debt with a debt? You can't. You can only discharge a debt. So when you go into a shop and give them a Bank of England note as tender for something, here's what happens. Your debt to them is replaced by the Bank of England's debt to them, right? Because they're going to be holding a promissory note of the bank, so the bank promises to pay them. So they're now holding a debt obligation of the Bank of England instead of a debt obligation of you, alright? So you've done a novation, you've swapped one contract for another. Now, since the bank is putting up all of this stuff, the bank is putting something up, right? Because they're saying, here you go, I'll take your debt. If you can use this tender and we'll take your debt, that's a public benefit, right? To use Bank of England notes, that's a public benefit privilege. Your shares in the UK are actually on the private side, technically. Okay, so don't worry about that at the moment. It doesn't mean you can't use your exemption. But since they're putting something up and they're taking the country's debt, guess what? They own the property. Bank of England owns whatever you pay for in Bank of England notes. Because you're putting some... they're insuring the transaction. And they're getting all the benefits from it under subrogation. Look up subrogation, okay? So, you don't own out unless you say you do, right? Now, of course, they can't prove that you bought something using banknotes, so that claim is actually very weak. The claim that they own it is very weak. But in theory, they do own it, since they insured the transaction by letting you use their promissory notes, right? So they own the property. So, God, I mean, that's a pretty big thing to, you know, let that sink in, yeah? Now, the NI account, as I said, is something that is set up at birth, and it tracks what they've taken from you and what they owe you back. It's as simple as that. It's operated by HMRC in the UK. Now, there is no money anymore. As I said, there is only promises of the central bank. And the coins they issue, worthless metal. Now, I say worthless, but in fact, value is subjective. So, it's as valuable as you make it. It always has been, it always will be. But essentially, whenever you use a banknote, you're paying a debt with a debt. So think of the possibilities. Why can't you issue your own notes? Or even better, why can't you just put off all the debts into the future, like they do, right? Because, you know, you take your banknote to the Bank of England and say, hey, you promised to pay me £10 on this note, give me the £10. They'll give you another promise. So the whole thing's bankrupt, really. They don't have anything to give you at the Bank of England. No gold. They won't swap it for gold. They don't have to, thanks to the Gold Standard Amendment Act 1931. They're not obliged to swap it for gold. So really, think of the possibilities. The various remedies we've come up with are establishing a bond at Treasury, accepting for value, appointing someone else as trustee, being trustee yourself, and tendering a incoherent instrument is one of the things we've come up with. An incoherent instrument is basically an instrument which you let them fill in. So it's sort of a blank cheque signed by you. We've tried drawing bills of exchange on Treasury. Many people, I know of someone who's having quite a bit of success doing that at the moment, writing bills of exchange on Treasury. Now, remember this, folks. Don't just write cheques on Treasury. You have to have a pre-existing agreement with them. And what we use for that is something we call a funding and set-off bond, which is sort of an agreement that they'll set off our debts. And when we get into contract law, I'll talk about that a bit more. But essentially, we write bills of exchange off of that agreement. And I have had the idea of trying that with the Bank of England instead, since they can create new money. But essentially, I think it makes more sense to do it with Treasury, since they're involved in your shareholding and, you know, we've written up affidavits to support our claim as shareholders of the UK. There's all sorts of remedies once you get this technology under your belt. There really is. Thanks for listening. I hope that has been the best episode. The next one, we'll get into the Sestakay V Act. Thanks for listening.